Just before I was to start the first grade, my mother decided that I needed new shoes, that annual trip that all of you as parents, I'm sure, have made for many, many years with your own children. So one Saturday morning, she took me and my three younger siblings shopping at the large department store in downtown Waycross. The children's shoe department on this store was on the second floor at the very back of the building. And once the shoe clerk had finished fitting me and began helping my sister, I turned my attention to the rest of the store. It was a jungle of chrome and glass round racks hanging with clothes that reminded me of the weeping willows we climbed in the backyard. It was a jungle that for a five-year-old was just waiting to be explored. So with my mother tied up with the shoe clerk, that gave me the opportunity to begin wandering around. I began pushing my way through the clothes, stepping into the center of the racks, looking up through those center parts to see the big glittering brass chandeliers hanging from the ceiling. Zigzagging my way from one rack to another, carefully avoiding any other shoppers, I finally pushed through a rack of suits and ran headfirst into the outer wall. I was disoriented and was way too short to see above the racks and quickly realized that I was lost. I couldn't find my mother. I didn't know where I was. And I was too embarrassed and scared to cry out, too timid to ask for help, and I backed myself up into that rack of clothes and waited. It wasn't long before I caught sight of my mother coming down an aisle, my infant brother in one arm and two siblings in tow behind, her face filled with worry and exasperation as she searched the aisles. Yet there I stood, frozen in my place among the suits. And when she finally caught sight of me, I saw the worry turn to relief on her face. And she knelt down and scooped me into her arms, and I knew that I was safe. The next day, I took my new shoes and wore them to Sunday school to show my teacher, Miss Doris. Miss Doris was a consummate storyteller, the main reason I like to go to church on Sunday mornings, that and the fact that she brought slices of homemade cake to the Sunday school class. The walls of her classroom were lined with all those pictures of Bible stories. Remember those pictures? They were really wonderful. I don't know if we still have those. And the most prominent picture that hung right above Miss Doris's chair was a picture of a shepherd with a sheep slung over his shoulders. And each week, every Sunday, she sat beneath that picture telling us stories and coaxing us to share whatever thoughts we might have. Now, some of my classmates were very eager to share. I rarely said anything, too caught up in the details and the characters and really not quite sure how to respond to her questions. But after my trip to the department store, I had something to share, and I told about my experience of being lost. I remember Miss Doris sitting there in her chair, and she nodded and she smiled, and after I finished, she simply pointed to the picture above her head, that shepherd carrying the sheep. In today's gospel, Jesus is once again teaching as he's been doing throughout Judea and Galilee. He is such a compelling teacher that the crowds gather to listen to him, including sinners who seek out Jesus. Luke, as we've noticed in this book, has been juxtaposing two groups often as he tells parables, or has Jesus tell parables. He juxtaposes sinners and righteous Pharisees. And when Luke uses these terms, he means something very, very specific. Sinners are those people who sin so frequently, so habitually, that the entire community is aware of their sinfulness. And he contrasts them with the Pharisees, who unfortunately for most of us Christians have castigated in the role of being self-righteous, which is unfair. But the reality is that Pharisees were deeply religious Jews who tried each and every day to follow as many commandments or all of God's commandments that they could. But it's a world in which the distinctions between sinner and righteous are obvious, and those two groups never mix. So when Jesus invites sinners to dinner with him, the Pharisees are scandalized. They don't understand his actions and they become indignant. For by welcoming sinners to his table, Jesus is extending up hospitality to people who are morally suspicious. He's indeed befriending the very outcast of his day. And the scribes and the Pharisees, these righteous Jews, they're not going to let Jesus get away with this without speaking their mind. In response to their grumbling, Jesus tells us three stories, actually. We only hear two of them today. We read the parable of the prodigal son back in Lent. The parables are not what we might expect Jesus to say, because he's not explaining the difference between righteousness and sinfulness. Instead, he tells three stories about lostness: a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son. There's a shepherd with 100 sheep, and he notices that one of them has gone astray. And he does something that's really quite foolish, that's economically risky. He leaves the 99 sheep in the wilderness to search for that one that's lost. Because for this shepherd, one sheep being gone, well, it means that the whole flock's not together. And the sheep that are safe and accounted for, well, he leaves them to the perils and straying away of being attacked by predators. The shepherd is willing to risk all of them in order to restore the one who was lost. Now, as a shepherd, seeking out a sheep would be a fairly arduous task, because a lone sheep becomes silent when it's scared. It burrows into the underbrush. It becomes paralyzed with fear. And the shepherd must look into every hiding place. He has to call out, hoping that the sheep will respond to the sound of a familiar voice. And even after being found, that shepherd's going to have to call that sheep out of the underbrush and carry it back to the flock. In the second story, Jesus talks about a woman who discovers she's lost one of her 10 precious coins. That would be a fortune, 10 silver coins. So she does what you think she might do. She searches tirelessly. She lights every lamp. She turns over every piece of furniture. She sweeps out the dust bunnies and cobwebs. She looks everywhere until that coin is found. And when she finds it, she rejoices. Jesus is describing to us a world where all that is lost must be restored, regardless of how much risk or how much effort is required. For every sheep that wanders into the wilderness is a dead sheep, and every lost coin is a dead asset. And it is to the dead that Jesus comes to bring life. So when the lost sheep and the lost coin are found, the shepherd throws a celebration, and the woman calls her neighbors to rejoice in a feast. In these parables, the lost sheep is already part of the flock. The lost coin is part of this woman's treasured possessions. The sinner is part of God's chosen people. Jesus sets a table for the Pharisees, who strive to be perfect in keeping all of God's law, right along with the sinners who need to be gathered into the community of the church. Jesus' stories reveal a God who risks everything, who searches tirelessly until everyone who is lost is found. This is what makes these parables so very radical. As Jesus welcomes all people to his table, he paves the way for repentance and restoration. The only expectation he has is that whenever the lost is found, the community, the church, will gather and celebrate, for the dead have come back to life. I think most of the time we are more like Pharisees than we are sinners and tax collectors. We are here this morning because we want to do and be the people God calls us to be. But sometimes we get lost while trying to do what's right. Life gets in the way of maintaining our relationship with God. It's easy to find ourselves spending all of our time trying to be the best parents, supporting our children's successes in sports or academics or the arts. We strive to be the best employees we can be, letting our careers take priorities as our faith slips away. We can become so immersed, even in church, into doing mission and outreach programs or pastoral care, that we leave no room for prayer and reflection. All of these things are good that we want to do. All of them are admirable, but they can be distractions that lead us away into the wilderness. Jesus is reminding us that being part of the community is as essential as all the other things we strive to have in life. Because it's in community, it's in this place where we join together that we find real, lasting life. Almost 15 years ago now, I had the opportunity to go back and visit with Miss Doris. She was well into her 90s. She was stooped and frail, but she had the same kind eyes that I remembered and the same sharp mind. I asked her about that picture of the Good Shepherd from her Sunday school room, and she asked if I remembered the mother who had lived with her, and I nodded. She said that the disease had left her mother an invalid for more than 35 years, and every day for 35 years, she went to her mother, she bathed and clothed and fed her. She clung to the memories of when her mother was a vibrant woman. But being a caregiver taught her something about herself. It made her look at her faith in new ways. It actually provided insight she was able to share with other people who were caregivers themselves. And also, she told me that at times the burden of being that caregiver was so overwhelming that she was filled with resentment. It was at those times, she said, that she felt abandoned in the wilderness, and the story of the Good Shepherd reminded her that God was always seeking her out, always that she was both lost and found. Jesus says to all of us who gather around this table, scribes and Pharisees, sinners and tax collectors, everyone who will listen, that we are all lost and we are all found. And when we rejoice in our lostness and foundness, we bring hope to the world. Holy Innocence is one of many places where saints and sinners come to find a table, to find a home. And so we gather today for a feast of bread and wine, a banquet for all of us, the lost and the found. Amen.